And so the Gemara had been talking about, we're in Nunhei and Aleph today, the Gemara had been discussing whether each, if it's a day where there are multiple karbanos musaf, whether each karban requires its own set of tekios. So up until now we've had Rav Acha said that each musaf requires its own set, and Rav Acha had brought a pasuk and he brought a mishnah that supported his opinion. The Gemara asked a question in yesterday's daf, and the Gemara continues to ask further questions on this opinion of Rav Acha, and these brises are going to seem to imply that you only blow on one musaf, not on multiple musafim. So the Gemara says three lines from the top, Meisive. The Tana Rav Bar Shmuel taught the following. Yochel k'shem shetoken al Shabbos b'fnei atzmo. Just like you blow shofar on Shabbos, the carbon Shabbos on its own, v'al Rosh Chodesh b'fnei atzmo, and also Rosh Chodesh when it falls out on a weekday on its own, not on Shabbos, each carbon musaf has its own tekios when they're not on the same day. Kach yutoken al kol musaf musaf, so too maybe when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos together, maybe each carbon musaf, both the carbon Shabbos and the carbon Rosh Chodesh, both of them should have its own set of tekios. Tamalomar uvroshei chad sheichem, says the pasuk. So from this pasuk we learn that you only do it on one of the musaf, not on both musafim. The Gemara is going to say uvroshei chad sheichem, that's true, but right now we're going to accept that as being the case, that if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, you only blow tekios on one of the musafim, not both of them. And this is a tiyufta, the Gemara says, the Rebbe Acha tiyufta. So Rebbe Acha, who's only an Amora, has just been disproved from this Brisa, which is a stronger status than he has. He can't argue in a Brisa, that's just another Brisa that supports him. So the Gemara asks, my Tamuda, what exactly was the drasha? How does Uvrashei Chad Sheichem teach us that when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide, that you only blow the shofars on one of the Musafim, not both of them? How does Uvrashei Chad Sheichem imply that? So Baye explains as follows. Amar Baye, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Uvrashei Chad Sheichem. And the many head, Rashay, sounds like two Rashim, two heads of multiple months. That's the literal explanation of Rashay Chad Sheichem. So Gemara says, Hukshu Kol Chadashim Kulam Zelazeh. So it's coming to teach us Rashay Chad Sheichem, all the months, all Chad Sheichem, the multiple months, all of them are equal. So the entire pasuk here tells us on the side of the page, in both HaGemaras it has, Uvayom Simchaschem, on the day of your rejoicing, Uvma'adechem, and your holidays, Uvrashei Chad Sheichem, and Rosh Chodesh, Uskatem Mechatzotzros Ala Losechem, you're supposed to blow the trumpets when you bring the karbanos. So it includes Rashei Chad Sheichem, all the Rosh Chodeshim, all the various months, you're supposed to have, they're supposed to be equal. So bias is the equal. So just like there's certainly going to be most of the Rosh Chodeshim of the year going to fall out during the week, and those, you only have one set of Chatzotos on the Karban Musaf alone of Rosh Chodesh. So too, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, it has to be equal to all the other Rosh Chodeshim, meaning only one set of Chatzotos, not two set of Chatzotos. And this is how Bai explains the drush of Rosh Chodesh tells me that you only blow one Musaf, not on both Musaf, and that's how it's a Kasha Tiyufta on Rabbi Acha. That's how Bai explains the drush. Rav Ashi comes along and explains the drush a little bit differently. Rav Ashi says, Amar Ksiv Chad Shechem. If you look in the actual Torah, it's missing a yud. It's not written as Chad Shechem. We pronounce it Chad Shechem, but it's actually written as Chadashchem, which doesn't mean your months, but it means your month, one month. So what's a Joshua? Uksiv Urashay. At the same time, it says Rashay. Rashay implies Roshim Shel, the multiple heads of Chodesh, of one month. So Ezu Chodesh Sheish Lo Shnei Rashim. Where do we have a month that has two Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah has two heads. It's a Rosh Hashanah. In addition to it being Rosh Chodesh, you have those two Yomim Tovim coincide. Yet still the pasuk says Vamar Rachmana Chad Shechem Chadi. We view that as one month, as one Karban Musaf. So even though there are two heads, it's a Rosh Hashanah plus a Rosh Chodesh, we view that as one, and therefore there's only one set of Karban Musaf. So too, just like Rosh Hashanah, which coincides with Rosh Chodesh, there's only one set of Chatzotzot, so too if Rosh Chodesh were to fall out on Shabbos, would also be viewed as one set of Chatzotzot, not two set of Chatzotzot. Okay, so that's the Tiyufta, according to, against Rabbi Acha. Now the Gemara goes further and says, V'od, moreover, we have another kash in Rabbi Acha, as if that wasn't enough, we have further brises to ask a kash on him. What's the next brise to tell us? B'chol Shem Moed, Gemara is telling a brisa that during the week, the Chol Moed of Sukkot, which shir are you supposed to say? And the Levim sang a shir during the Karban Tamid. They sang a shir during the Karban Musaf. So what was the shir that was said? So Rashi just explains, referring to particularly which Rashi Mahayu Omrim, he says, Bashir HaMusafin. Which shir was being said when saying the shir Musaf? So the implication, we'll see in a second which shir were being said. The implication of Rashi is that what's said during the Karban Tamid also had its shir, that was stayed the same, meaning if Chol Moed fell on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, the Karban Tamid would say the regular Chol Moed shir would normally say. So, which would be nafkamina for us, let's say. So let's say when we, at the end of Chol Moed, at the end of davening, we say Shir Shayom. So which Shir Shayom do we say? So even though it's Chol Moed Sukkot, we say the regular Shir Shayom of Monday, of Tuesday, of Wednesday, nothing changes. So here Tosafot Rashi says that the only discussion here is about what do you say about the Karban Musaf. But during the Karban Tamid, that he implies it's going to stay the same. So which shir would you say on each particular day of Chol Moed Sukkot? So the Brisa says, Bechol Shal Moed, Berisha, on the first day of Sukkot, Chol Moed Sukkot, you would say, Mahi Omer, and they would say, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. And in this Mizmor, it talks about Kol. It says Kol a few times. And Kol Al HaMayim, it says. So Rashi says, Kol Al HaMayim, that's a reference to the Nisach HaMayim. That's why it's appropriate to say this Mizmor. And that's what was said on the first day. B'sheni, the second day of Chol Moed Sukkot, Mahayu Omrim, what would they say? Ula Rasha Amar Elokim, they would say this Mizmor. And Rashi explains why each of these Mizmorim are appropriate for Sukkot. This he talks about because it's a lot of Musar that's being said in this Mizmor, and talks about the various people who are gathering together in the Azara for Sukkot, and he says not everybody who came was necessarily the biggest tzaddik. A number of people there were needed a little bit of tshuva to be done. So this mizmor is meant to be a little bit of a chizik and musar for those who gather together, that you're supposed to be complete, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I come here with the rest of my nation, and if you don't do tshuva, I'm not going to come back here. So once you're here, please do tshuva, so I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can remain here. That's what the second day mizmor was. Bashlishi, what would they say in the third day of Chol Moed? Mahayu Omrim, Mi Yakum Li Im Mireim. So this Mizmor, Rashi explains, is a longer Rashi here. He says it's referring to being protected from the various Umas Olam, because even though we are living under the rulership of Persia and Greek and Roman and Rome, so despite the fact we didn't refrain from rejoicing in the base of Mikdash, so Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect us from these various governments. And then he says further, what's the next one we say? Berevi, the fourth day of Chol Moed Sukkot, is Mahi Omrim, Beinu Ba'arim Ba'am. Now, in this Mizmor, Rashi connects the two of these for some reason. I'm not sure what this Mizmor is about. Okay, I don't know. Then Mechamishi, the fifth day of Chol Moed Sukkot, Mahi Omrim, what would they say? Hasirosi Misevel Shichmon. And this Rashi is a divrei tanchunim, meant to be the words of comfort, that it's referring to the mayim that we are judged upon on Chag. On Sukkot, we're judged upon the water of the upcoming year, so it's supposed to give us, hopefully, that we're granted a reference to being granted a favorable judgment in terms of water. Bashishi, the sixth day of Chol Moed Sukkot, Mahi Omrim, what would they say? This is Hoshana Rabbah, Yamutu Kol Mos De'aretz. They would say this part, this Mizmor, and this Mizmor talks about that the four times during the year, one of them being Sukkot, that we give, that a person shouldn't steal Matnos Aniyim. You're supposed to remind us to give the gifts, the Peah, the Leket, Shecha, all those things are supposed to be given to the Aniyim. It's a reminder to maintain those mitzvahs and not to forget about the Aniyim. So some of these Mizmorim are a little bit more directly connected to Sukkot, although some of them are not as direct. But these are the Mizmorim that are said from day 1 through day 6 of Chol Moed Sukkot. And then the Gemara says, V'im Chal Shabbos Be'echam Hem. So let's say, which oftentimes happens, it's not always that all 6 days fall from Sunday to Friday. That's not so common. But when it happens that one of the days of Chol Moed falls out on Shabbos, so you don't say this, you knock out one of the Mizmorim, and Vim Chal Shabbos Be'achamehem Yamutu Yitcha, the last one, Yamutu, that Mizmor is not said. Rather, you say the regular Mizmor of Shabbos, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, and you say the other five in the order when Chol Moed falls out during the week. Okay. So before he asks the Tiyufta, the Gemara says, Rav Safra Manach Bahu, I skipped a line? No, I didn't. Rav Safra Manach Bahu Simana Humbahi. Humbahi are the Rosh HaTevis of the various Mizmorim we just mentioned. So, and Rav Papa Manach Bahu Simana Humbahi. So the Beis and the Hei is switched. They have Machlokas between which Mizmor would come first. Was it Hasirosi versus Bino, which one would come first? That was a slight Machlokas. The same Mizmorim are all being said, just Machlokas, which one was first between those two Mizmorim. Now the simanach, the simon, the mnemonic that was mentioned to remember what was which order we do, ambuha, which is the beis before the hay, the opinion of Rav Safra, ambuha de sifri, that's the order we do. So Rashi has a whole thing. I'm not sure what Rashi means by the simon. What exactly is an ambuha de sifri? Ambuha de sifri, Rashi says, refers to the alleyways of the milamde tinokos that are between the teachers of children, that the children would be picked up by their mothers and the fathers, pretty frequent that they were there. So it was called the Ambu de Sifri, the Ambu of the Beis Sefer. That's what it was called. So since such a name exists, if you remember that, that's going to tell you, oh, the Beis comes before the Hay, and that's going to be the mnemonic to tell us the order of Mizmor. Okay, so that's the Braisa all about which Mizmor we say in various days of Chol Moed Sukkos. What does that have to do with Rav Acha? So Gemara says, this is the Tiyufta, Rav Acha Bar Chanina Tiyufta, this is another Tiyufta. Why is this a Tiyufta? So Rashi explained, you see Rashi, Tiyufta, the Riacha, I know there's many Y lines, to round halfway down the Y lines. The first word in the line is Safra, it's not a bold though. So in that middle of the line, it has bold, Tiyufta, the Riacha. Damar, that Rabbi Acha himself held, token al kol musuf. Every single musuf warranted its own set of tekios. Alma damar l'chol achachiro. So therefore, since there's a separate set of tekios for each musuf, it also warranted its own shir. The Hacha Katani here teaches us that Yimotu Yitzcha, if Shabbos falls out on one of the days of Chol Moed Sukkos, we don't say the last Mizmor of Yimotu. Alma lo amru b'Shabbos shel Chol Moed ela shesha Shabbos. So it comes out on Chol Moed Sukkos, Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkos. There are two Musafim. After you bring the Karban Tamid, you bring Karban Musaf as Shabbos, and then you bring the Karban Musaf of Chol Moed. So just like there are two sets of tekios, according to Rav Acha, there should also be two sets of Shirim. They should first say Mizmor Shir Shalim HaShabbos on for the Karban Musaf of Shabbos, and then said the appropriate shir for the Karban Musaf of Chol Moed. The fact that we do not say two shiros tells us there's only one set of tekios as well. That's the second tiyufta against Rabbi Acha. Now it asks the Gemara, how are we so easily able to reject Rav Safra? Because v'har Rav Acha bar Chanina kra. Umasnisa Kamar? Didn't he bring a pasuk? He told the pasuk before, and he also brought a brisa that seemed to support his opinion. So how do we go against a pasuk, especially? And also, if he's a brisa that supports him, so the brisa, he's allowed to argue in another brisa as long as he's a different Tana who supports what he says. So the Gemara explains that he really misunderstood what the pasuk when the brisa was telling us. When the pasuk earlier told us about multiple tekios, it wasn't telling us that there were a number of sets of tekios. Rather, it says the Gemara, Amar Ravina. Ravina explains the brice and pasuk that he brought. Lomar shemarichin b'tikios. Not that they would have multiple sets. That each karban musaf would have its own set of tikios. Rather, you would be marbe. You would add chatzotzots, but all on one karban musaf. You do multiple sounds, but all on the karban musaf of Shabbos. You wouldn't do a second round on the karban musaf shel Chol Moed. That's all it means. Okay. Now, the Gemara says further, Rabbanon de Kisrei, Mishmei de Rabbi Acha, Amri Lomar Shemarba B'tikios. Oh, B'token. Also, he says, no, differently, not that you would have more blasts, but rather you have more blasters, more token, more people blowing chatotos. So instead of having normally, I don't know how many were normally done, but let's say normally you would have 21, let's see, Rashi explains here. You never have less than two. So, so here you have, let's say, four people blowing the chatzotzos. Whatever the number would be, you'd have more people blowing it just to have a more of a presence to celebrate the fact that Shabbos Chol Moed, but in the end of the day, there's only one set of tekios that are being blasted on even when they coincide with each other. Now the Gemara asks a very important question, very halachal ma'is for us when it comes to Musaf, or Midah Musaf and Chol Moed, and Kriyas HaTorah and Chol Moed. The Gemara asks as follows, V'anan, according to us, we who live in Bavel, and us in America, in Chutzlart, de Islan Treyome, we have 2 days of Yantif. Hechi Avdinan. How are we supposed to say the carbon musaf in Tfilas Musaf? What are we supposed to say? So Rashi explains the back and forth. On the second day of Yontif, which is really supposed to be first day Rosh Hashanah, first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, rather. So if we say the first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, but that's a stira because we're really holding it as a Yontif. So if you're saying a Yontif, it's going to be a bizayon to start saying the Karbon Musaf of Chol Hamoed Sukkos. So what are you supposed to do on that on those different days? So it's pashut that on day two of Yontif, second day Yontif, you have to say Chamishasar. You have to repeat the Karbon Musaf on day one because we're more concerned that we shouldn't be mevaza the second day of Yontif. Everything has to be exactly the same as day one. The real question is the first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, which is really the second day of Chol Hamoed, though. So what are you supposed to say? If you start saying third day Chol Hamoed Sukkos, you're always going to skip a day. If you start, you only have 5 days to work in Eretz Yisrael. You have 6 days. You have Chol Hamoed 1 to 6. So you say all six mizmorim, and you have all six different karbanos because the karbanos also change every day of Sukkos is a different karbon. So you get 1 to 6 Chol Hamoed Sukkos. But in Chutzart, you have 2 days in the beginning. You only have 5 days of Chol Hamoed in between. So what are you doing? You only have what are you doing? You're knocking off the first one. Are you starting from day two to day six? Or are you doing day 1 to day 5 and skipping day 6? That's the Gemara's question. What are you supposed to say in the Karban Musaf, the Tfilas Musaf, which Karbanos are you supposed to say? So the Gemara explains as follows. Abai Amar, Sheni Yidcha, you knock off day 2, which is really day 1 of Chol Hamoed Sukkos. So for our purposes, in terms of Shir, you wouldn't say Havu Lashem Bnei Elim, and you wouldn't mention the Karban Musaf on day 2 of Sukkos. You knock that one completely off. You do from day... It's getting confused, day 2, day 3. Day 2, again, of Sukkot means day 1 of Chol Hamoed. So you wouldn't be saying day 1 of Chol Hamoed, you'd be saying day 2 to day 6 of Chol Hamoed, skipping day 1. Rav Amar Shvi, you knock off day 7, which is really day 6 of Chol Hamoed, you say day 2 to day 5 of Chol Hamoed, sorry, day 1 to day 5 of Chol Hamoed, not saying day 6, which is day 7 of all Sukkos. Okay. Now, we don't hold this way. Even though the Rambam brings this lahalacha, he says Shvi Yitcha, we push off Shvi, we really are noheg like this last brisa. And we'll see in Rashi in a second how exactly we do this. Tanya kavasi de Rava. The brisa really supports the pin de Rava. Im chal Shabbos liyos b'achamihem yamutu yitcha. And if Shabbos falls down one of them, you push off yamutu, you push off the last one, the day 7 one, yamutu, and you only say the previous chol hamoeds. But for us, askin amema, amema came up and was msakin b'naharda, the medalge deluge. We're supposed to dalage deluge. What does dalage deluge mean? So for this, you have to look at Rashi. So Rashi explains to us. See Rashi, the last line, it's around 8 lines. It's a long Rashi, but it's kedai to go through. Rashi starts off asking a memar, 8 lines. Asking a memar de midle deluge. You do some type of skipping or some type of repeating. So explains Rashi. And then what comes out is everything gets set. Everything's set. Everything stands. How? Omrim b'yom rishon, day 1 shel Chol Hamoed Sukkos, we say, b'yom hasheni, which is that, and remember, day 1 of Chol Hamoed Sukkos in Chutz La'aretz is really day 3 of all of Sukkos. But we skip day 2 because day 2 is really Yontif. So we say both. We say day 2 and day 3. This is the custom. Safek sheni, safek shlishi. We don't know if it's day 2 or day 3. Ulamachar, the next day, Omrim, Biyom Shishi, Biyom Revi, Ubishlishi, the Chalmoid, Biyom Revi, Biyom Chamishi, Ubrevi, Biyom Chamishi, Biyom Shishi, Ubachamishi, the Chalmoid, fifth day of Chalmoid, which is Hoshana Rabbah, for us in Chutzlarts, Shoshana Rabbah, right, Omrim, Biyom Shishi, Ubiyom Shvi, Kisveko. We say day 6 and day 7. Vainu Deluge, this is what means Deluge in the Gemara, Shomrim, Hayom, Mash, Amu Esma, we say what was yesterday? Kedamrinon Gavirosh Chodesh Ravacha Rav Amar Dolig Shomer Hasheni Echad Me'amus Pesukim Shamar Harishon. Dolig means to repeat a previously stated pasuk. I remember growing up, the Arshkol has different editions of Arshkol say different things. Growing up, we used to say whatever day it was of Chol Hamoed Sukkos. Remember, as we got older, we got a new Rav of the Shul in Bnei Ashern. Then he said, you're supposed to say, and I think the new article, Hebrew only article says, you're supposed to say both, like the Rashi says, both Karbanos Musaf. Say, on day 1 of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, you say, Bayom Hasheni uVayom Hashlishi. I think that is the pretty much prevailing custom throughout many of the shuls. Now, after establishing what you're supposed to say, in terms of the Shir, so Rashi says, V'chihecha da'askin ameimar linen tefillah. Just like he said, during Tfilas Musaf, you're supposed to say both karbanos, both days. Avdina nami l'inin kari Torah. So too, when it comes to kriyas Torah as well, then chol hamor you have the same type of setup. Rashi explains further. Sharvi hakorei shum musaf b'chol shemor yoser mishayamim. Day four, the fourth aliyah on chol hamor. Normally, of course, an aliyah during the week is three aliyahs. Chol hamor we have a special added aliyah, the fourth aliyah. So the fourth aliyah is nikar shubol chavod hayom. That's the ikar one, since that one distinguishes it from any other chol, that becomes a special one. And that four has to be who kore es sveikayom. That fourth aliyah has to read both sveikos. So if it's day one in chol hamotzukos, you have to make sure to read that fourth aliyah day two and day three to be mekayim that suffik of which is the appropriate carbon. So kamosh shliach tzibur omim, just like the shliach tzibur says both during carbon musaf, so too during kriyas haTorah you have to say both days, day two and day three. So Rash and Vim Shabbos hu makorin hamafter. So to Shabbos, you read the mafter both of those sveikos yom. So Rashi explains now. Vashloshek shekorin tchila. The first three aliyahs of Chol Hamoed ain't mafpidin al kriyas. We don't really care what they read. They can read anything in the world. It has to be part of the same section, but they can read any yom they want. So yikum mashiu to read whatever you want. When we come makom kacha yinogim rabos. But the minhag has been as follows. This was the setup for the kriyas haTorah. Shnei rishonim. The first two aliyahs. Korim Shnaim Sveikayom. They read the first 2 days. So let's say Chol Moed Sukkot, day one. Rishon Kohen would read B'yom HaSheni. Levi would read Yom HaShlishi. And then the Shlishi, the third Aliyah, Parshas Yom HaMachos. Then he could read the fourth day. Read B'yom HaRevi, whatever you want. We don't care what the first three Aliyahs read. It just has to be in the same vicinity of the discussion here. And then Shenu Mas Bikos HaYom Kol. The first three have nothing to do with the Chol Moed. The Arvi, however, the fourth aliyah, which is the important one for Chol Hamoed that distinguishes Chol Hamoed from the other days, that you have to read Choser V'Korei Mashakaro Shnaim HaRishonim. You have to repeat what the first two aliyahs was said, namely Bayom HaSheni Uvayom HaShlishi, because that's the suffix of first day Chol Hamoed Sukkot and Chuzar. It's the suffix: is it Bayom HaSheni or is it Bayom HaShlishi? Therefore, we read both of them in the fourth aliyah, which is the most important aliyah of Chol Hamoed Sukkot. So that's how Rashi lays everything out for us. Tosas does argue on this. We won't go through, but Tosas has a different opinion of how the aliyah should be. He says it should really be. He argues that the fourth aliyah is not the most important aliyah of the Chol Hamoed Sukkot. He says you should read it Kohen b'yom hasheni, Levi b'yom hashlishi, Shlishi repeats b'yom hasheni, and Revi again repeats b'yom hashlishi. Because why would you ever mention tomorrow's laning of b'yom Arvi? B'yom Arvi has nothing to do with the day we find ourselves in. You should only keep the laning to whatever is shayach to that day, which is Bayom HaSheni and Bayom HaShlishi. That's Tosas' opinion, but we paskin like Rashi. Okay, now moving on to Nunhei Amud Beis. New Mishnah tells us, this Mishnah is going to require a little bit of math for us. I have a little chart. Do you have a chart in yours?
Yeah.
Okay, so it might be helpful here, these charts.
In terms of the number of kabanos or the number of watches.
Right.
Okay,
alright, so we'll manage through. So the first thing is that in terms of Sukkot, the karbanos, the parei hachag it's referred to, the cows of the chag, changes from day to day. As opposed to Pesach, the carbon stays the same, and we have the same carbon every single day of Pesach. When it comes to Sukkot, each day is different because there's a difference of how many cows are being brought. So day one of Sukkot starts with 13 cows. It goes down to 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, until you get to Hoshana Rabbah. You're left with, 7 cows is the last day, right? 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Okay. So 7 cows is the last day. So 13 to 7. And all the other karbanos remain the same. That's point one. Point two is that 24 mishmaros, 24 different groups of kohanim that worked throughout the year, they'd each get 2 weeks of the year to work. Now, when it came to the Shlosh Regalim, in this case, talking about Sukkot, all of them came together. They had to split up all the karbanos evenly among the 24 mishmaros. So now the Gemara explains how this worked. So Mishnah says, rather Mishnah explains, Yom Tov Rishon Shachag, first day of Sukkot, Hayusham Yud Gimel Parm. There are 13 cows, and Elim Shnayim. There are 2 rams, Vesir Echad, and there's 1 goat. So that gives us a total of 13, 15, 16. So we have 16 mishmaros, where each mishmar did one of those karbanos we just mentioned. That leaves us over 8 mishmaros now. Now, Nishtayrusham Yudal Kvasim, there's still 14 sheep which have to be brought on the first day of Sukkot. So that has to be broken up among Shmona Mishmaros, the 8 remaining Mishmaros. So How do you do this? How do you split it up evenly? How do you split 14 among 8 mishmaros? The Gemara says, "Biyomar Rishon, Shisha Makrivin Shnayim Shnayim." 6 of the mishmaros do 2 and 2. Then each do 2. That's 6, 12 of the 14 kvasim. And then Hashar, the remaining 2 mishmaros, Echad Echad, do the remaining 2 sheep. So that's how everything works out in terms of the sheep. Now, Besheni, on day 2, where we only have 12 cows now, so we have 9 mishmaros remaining. Because you have a total of 15 animals being used, because only 12. That leaves us remaining 10 mishmaros to split among the 14 sheep. How do you split the 9 among the 14 sheep? So Gemara explains. So, Besheni, day 2, Chamisha Makrivin Shnayim Shnayim. 5 of the mishmaros bring 2 each. That totals 10. Now, the remaining 4, Hashar, Echad, Echad, each do 1 each. That 4 times 1 is 4. That covers the remaining sheep. B'shlishi, Gemara goes, Mishmar goes by each step. Dalit, so B'shlishi, we have only 11 cows now. So now we have 10 remaining mishmaros that aren't being used. So what would they do? Dalit, Makrivin Shnayim Shnayim. 4 of the 10 mishmaros now did 2, at 8. And then the remaining 4 mishmaros who didn't get the remaining 6, rather, mishmaros do the remaining 6 kvasim, Hashar, Echad, Echad. They do 1 each. Barvi, Shloshim Akrivin, Shnayim, Shnayim. Here we have only, what we're up to now, 9? 9 Pariachag. So now we have 11 mishmaros that are not being used. So there you do Shnayim, Shloshim Akrivin, Shnayim, Shnayim. 3 of them do 2 each. That gives us 6. And the remaining 7, I can't keep track of all the numbers now, but Hashar Echad Echad, the rest do 1 and 1. The math works out. The Chamishi, the 5th day of Chol Moed, Shnayim Akrivin, Shnayim, Shnayim. 2 do 2, and Ashar Echad Echad, the rest do 1 sheep each. Bashishi, the day 6, Echad, this is the chal, this is now, right, day 6. Echad Makri Shnayim, 1 Mishmar does 2, and Ashar Echad Echad, the remaining Mishmaros do 1 each, that covers all the sheep. And Bishri, the final day, Hoshana Rabbah, final day of Sukkot, Kulan Shavim, all of them just do one sheep. Because there are only 7 cows, so that's how everything works out. And Bashmini and Shmi Atzeres now, which is not Sukkot, but of course connected, Chazu LePayas, they'd go back to do the Payasos, they would draw lots. Even though the rest of Sukkot, they wouldn't draw lots, they'd have the whole system how it works. On Shmi Atzeres, they would draw lots as to which of the Mishmaros would get to do the Karbon of Shmi Atzeres. And again, Chazu LePayas, Kibur Golem. Right, so the way they explain this is that it's not really like the Regalim, because the Regalim, there were no Payasos. Rather, it goes back to everyone becomes equal. Like on the Regalim, everybody was equal. Here, too, also, everybody is equal. Is that what it's saying? Hold on. Let's see this for a second. Right, it's just saying they would. I'm not sure how to read the mission exactly, but it wouldn't be like the Regalim, rather it would be everyone would have a fair chance and they'd draw lots. Aha. Uh-huh. So the way it explains here, you do like the other Moadim, not like Sukkot, like Pesach and Shavuos, where there are very little Karbanos, where there you draw lots. So Sotu Shmi Atzeres goes back to the Payasos, the drawing of lots, like the other Yom Tovim, as opposed to Sukkot. Sukkot is the unique one where there are so many Karbanos to Sukkot. That's Dafka, where we have enough to go around, where everybody has an equal opportunity. It's on Shavuos and Pesach, and now also Shmi Atzeres, where you draw lots, everyone has a fair chance, but not everybody has a chance to go. And then the Mishnah concludes saying, Amru, they said, Misha Hikriv Parim Hayom Lo Yakriv Machar, the one who did the Parim today wouldn't do tomorrow, Ela Chozen Chalila, you go around in a circle. So according to this, what it means is there are a total of 24 mishmaros, as we said. So I have a whole list of them in mine. You have yours listed out also. So it goes down, and you start off number 1. So day 1, there are 13 cows. That covers the first 13. Day 2, you don't repeat it. Day 2, the par goes to the next one line. That's Yeshvav, is 14. It goes down the line until it hits 24, and then wraps up to the top again and keeps going like that in order of the Parayachag. And that's how it goes in terms of the Parayachag. And that tells us then whoever gets Parayachag, the other people get the aisle and the kvasim and... And a very nice chart breaks everything down, who gets what. In the end day, it seems like everybody gets equal. Everyone has an equal opportunity. Actually, not necessarily true. Not everybody has equal opportunity, I guess. Because some of the Mishmaros got to do 2 kvasim. Not everybody got to do 2 kvasim, I don't think. Yeah, see, like Shechanyahu, which is number 10, he never does two chvasim. And neither does Yehoyariv. So, some people, let's see, one, those guys. Looks like around 10 of them don't get to do two chvasim. So 10 of them have one less carbon than anybody else, but pretty much it's equal. Okay. Okay, says the Gemara now. Name a Masnisin Rebbe he v'lo Rabbanon. Say our Mishnah is authored by Rebbe and not authored by Rabbanon. Why? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us that par ha-babishmi, the par, the one par that comes in Shmini Atzeres, b'tchila mafisin alav divrei Rebbe. And according to Rebbe, there would be a pious. Just like our Mishnah says, on the Shmini Atzeres, there was a pious, there was a lot. And Chachamim, says the Braisa Omrim, achas mishtei mishmaros, d'lo shal shubparm, osel so. Nope, it's not a pious. Rather, the two mishmaros that didn't have a chance to do parm three times over, so they're the ones who do who get to do the Shmini Atzeres. So you look at the math. The math is pretty straightforward. 24 times 3 turns out to be 72, but there are only 70 cows throughout. So that leaves two remaining, and according to the chart, that's the last two mishmaros, which is Delayahu and Mazyahu. Those two never got to bring the par a third time. So obviously the par was something very chashuv, so they missed out. So those two had to decide who was being done Shmini Atzeres, and there was no pious, according to Chachamim. According to Rebbe, everyone had an equal opportunity, all 24. According to Rabbanan, only two, so there's no pious for the last Shmini Atzeres. So Rebbe must be our author, not the Mishnah. Not Rabbanan, rather. Gemara says, no. Afilu tamei Rabbanan. Even Rabbanan agreed it's a pious. Ati shnei mishmaros lo afusabai. How are you going to decide between those last two? So you also have a pious according to Rabbanan. The only question is who's going to be in the lottery. According to Rebbe, all 24 is. So you only 1 in 24 chance of winning. According to Rabbanan, there's still a pious, but it's different. Only two people are in the pious. It's really Delayahu versus Mazyahu, but there's still a pious. So the Mishnah says there was a pious on the last day of Shmini Atzeres. It was a pious. It was just only between two people, not between all 24. So everybody could really work with the Mishnah that there was a pious. The Gemara says, "Kaman Azla, who is the author of the following brisa? Hadatanya, or who does the brisa go like? Kol mishmaros shonos mishal shlos. All the mishmaros do it twice, and they even do it a third time. Chutz mishnei mishmaros shonos vei mishal shlos. There are three mishmaros, the last two, which again is Delayahu and Mazyahu, who only have an opportunity to do two cows, not three cows. So name a Rebbe, v'lo Rabbanan. So maybe it's Rebbe, not Rabbanan. Why?" Because according to Rabbanan, they acknowledge, Rabbanan view Shmini Atzeres as a continuation of Sukkos. That's why they only allowed the other last two to do the pious. It's not a completely new thing, it's a continuation. So there is actually only one, according to Rabbanan, whoever wins, the other one. So it really turns out only one person doesn't get to do three times. But everybody else, all 23 others, do it three times. Rebbe, who holds that Shmini Atzeres is a completely new day, and you're doing a pious for all 24, so him, even if Delayahu or Mazyahu were to win the lottery, it wouldn't be viewed as being a third time of the cows, because Shmini Atzeres is a completely new day, according to Rebbe. So this must go like Rebbe, who says there are always two people, two groups, two mishmaros that never do three times. But according to Rebbe, no, there's only always one that never does a third time. Because one mishmar is always winning the lottery, but it's only mishmar between, it's only pious versus two mishmaros. The Gemara explains, no. Afilu Rebbe, Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan could say like this. My lo shilshu. What does it mean that they didn't do a third time? Lo shilshu b'pariachag. They didn't do it a third time, pariachag. Yes, Rabbanan hold, the final par in Shmini Atzeres is only a pious between Delayahu and Mazyahu, the last two mishmaros. But even when they bring it, it's not a third time of pariachag. It's a third time of a par, but not a third time of pariachag. So, yes, it is a true statement that there are always two mishmaros that do not triple up on Parei HaChag. Umayk Mashalom, what's the Chiddush? What's coming to teach us? Hokam Mashalom, that's coming to teach us. Mish Hikriv Parm Hayom, Lo Yakriv L'machar. El Chozun Chalila, this comes to teach me that the person who did yesterday's Par cannot do today's Par. That's the Chiddush, just like the Mishnah teaches us. Now the Gemara says a fascinating Gemara here. Amar Rebbe, what's the Girsa here? Amar Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar teaches us, Hani Shivim Parim. the end of the day, do the math, 13 through 7, 7 days, adds up to 70 cows of sukkahs. So what's the idea of the 70 cows? So Amar Belazar, Hani Shivan Parm Kinegami. Corresponding to who are these 70 cows being brought? So Gmarik answers, or Rabbi Elazar answers, Kineged Shivim Umos, corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. What does that mean, the 70 nations of the world? And Par Yechidi, Lama, why the singular Par and Shmi Atzeres, Kineged Uma Yechida, corresponding to the singular nation, namely that of Klal Yisrael. What does it even mean? 70 nations, for 70 Parim for the nations, one for us. So the Gemara explains, before I explain further, the Gemara, let's look at the Gemara first for a few more lines. Mashal melech basar v'dam. It's a mashal to a regular king. Shamar levadav, he says to the servants, Asu li suda gedola liyom achron. Make me a very large suda for the last day. Amar lo havo, asu li suda ktana, k'tei sh'ana imi mecha. So he says to the one he loves, make me a small meal. So the idea is, that first I want you to make he wants the servant to make a large meal. That refers to the servant of Umas Olam, or the 70 cows. When it comes to the beloved, his one he loves, Klai Yisrael, they ask for a simple meal, just a small meal. I don't need anything extravagant. We have a fine relationship as is, nothing we have to build on. Just make a small meal for us to sit down and have a nice lunch together. When it comes to other Umas Olam, where they are the servants, they have to try to impress him and to show much more gratitude, they have to get on his good side, they have to show a very extravagant meal. But Klai Yisrael, who already is viewed in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a loved one, it's enough to have a small meal to draw closer to Hashem. I think that's the idea. I think there's something deeper here. We'll leave it at that for now. Then the Gemara quotes one more thing here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lahem le'ovdi kachavim, woe is to the goyim, she'ovdu, that they caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, vein yodim ma'sha'ovdu, they don't even know what they lost. They had no idea that every single year we'd bring 70 karbanos on their behalf to provide kabbar to them. They had no clue. But now they have no way of achieving kabbar. They lost a tremendous thing. They have no idea what they even lost. This is an amazing idea that we bring karbanos, 70 karbanos, to be mechaper for Umas Olam. What exactly is that for? What's the purpose of this? So, Meshech Chachma explains that first he asks the question, I don't understand, aren't all the Kabbalists, the Gemara in Shavuos tells us and elsewhere, the Kabbalists that are being brought on Yom Tovim are really there to mechaper on Tuma, Mikdash, V'Kadash. A very strange thing, we don't really could appreciate it because we don't have Tuma and Tara, we don't have the base of Mikdash. But there was a Tuma that took place in the base of Mikdash, and people were Tame when they ate Kachim. So they had to bring Kabbar. So that was a very big, central thing. That's what was the ultimate Kapara of all the various Yom Tovim. So what shaykhis to the kapar of an akum of the Tuma Mikdash V'Kadashav? So it says in Meshech Chachma, Adam would like this, he's a big fan of the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma explains that because, of course, we know the Beis HaMikdash is there, V'Shechanti B'Sochem, Kadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina inside there, in the Makam Kedushin, Heich Hashem, but the akum are Metamei, them, the Beis HaMikdash, and all Klai Yisrael, by trying to stray them from the proper path, from being putting bad deos and bad machshavos in the mind of Klai Yisrael, that creates the Tuma Mikdash V'Kadashim. And that's the kapara we need to provide the Umas Olam, to get rid of out of our minds that type of Tuma. Okay. Okay, Aruch Haner asks a very interesting question. Why does Klai Yisrael come last? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, when it comes to judging the nations of the world, first the Melech goes in first, and after the Melech, the rest of the people is judged. Because the Melech comes in first, simply firstly because he's beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shom Kedima. So number two is, when the Melech comes in first, he's going to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hopefully give the rest of the world a easier judgment. So why in this case is the Melech, why is Klai Yisrael going last? They should really go first. So explains the Aruch HaNeir as follows. If they went first, so perhaps you would say, why is Klal Yisrael beloved to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Simply because they went first. That's why. But now that we're seeing, even after all the 70 karbanos that the Umas Olam brought to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so many, Kadosh Baruch Hu was so full, if you will, despite that fact, still Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even when they're last, they're still Chaviv to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Aruch HaNeir explains. Let's go back to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, "B'shlosha b'prakim mishana." There are three times during the year how you call mishmaros shavos. All the different mishmaros were equal. I mean, the rest of the year, every mishmar had its own week. 2 weeks they would go, and no one else was able to come. It was their 2 weeks. No one else could have any part in the avoda. But there were three times during the year where everybody had an equal say, everyone had an equal part, everyone went together. One of these three prakim. So these are the shlosha regalim, of course. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. All the mishmaros would come together and have equal opportunity to do the avoda. So Be'emur HaRegalim, when it came to Emur HaRegalim, which refers to on the Regalim, there are various parts of the Karbanos which were allowed to be taken and used and eaten by the Karbanos. Examples, Rashi says, is the hides, the skins of the Olos. The entire Ola was offered on the Mizbeach, but the skin was left behind. That skin was used for clothing. It could be used for, I don't know, whatever, making a container of some sort. So that was left over for the Kohanim, so they all had an equal opportunity to get the leftover skins. And when it came to the Shlomim, they used to bring Shlomim, called Shalmei HaChag. Shalmei HaChag, the Chazir and the Shok, the various parts of the animal, was eaten by the Kohanim. That too, they all had an equal share in these Karbanos. Also, when it came to Chiluk Lechem Apanim Batzeres, Lechem Apanim, were the 12 loaves of bread that was given out on the Shabbos. So whoever was the Mishmar of that Shabbos would normally get to take those Lechem Apanim. But if let's say Atzeres, which is Shavuos, Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, so then since it's Shavuos, where everybody has an equal share, so even though it's Shabbos, they also have an equal share in the Lechem Apanim that falls out on Shavuos. Now, when you split up the Lechem Apanim versus the Atzeres, Shavuos also had a Shtei Lechem. There's a carbon Shtei Lechem that is brought on Shavuos, in addition to the Lechem Panim, the 12 loaves of the Lechem Panim. The difference is, though, Lechem Panim was made of matzah, and Shtei Lechem was made of bread, challah. So you would say as follows, when you divvy it up among the Kohanim, you'd say, Omer lo, heilach matzah, here's matzah, heilach chametz, here's your chametz. You have to be very careful, because you're not allowed to, Rashi explains, that you can't be mafresh a carbon connected to another carbon. You can't say, okay, you, Harry, you're going to get this carbon, I'm going to get this carbon. You can't do that way. You can't say, we're going to get this half, you're getting that half. Your leg is connected, my arm and your piece. You can't do that, this versus that. You just say, here's matzah for you, and here's lechem for you. And careful not to say, it's you get this while he gets this. Splitting up for whatever reason, the Gemara explains, Gemara Menachos tells me, you can't divide a carbon connected to another carbon. Rather, you just give whatever it is to each person. So you say, here's your matzah, here's your chametz. Then the Mishmar says, the Mishmar says mana kavua. So, now the week of Shavuos, Shavuos is only one day, so that week was really someone's Mishmar, though. The rest of the week, other than that one day, was someone's Mishmar. So from Sunday through Friday, there was a Mishmar working as his Mishmar. Then came Shabbos, which was Shavuos in this particular year. All the 24 Mishmaros would come together, have an equal share in that one day. So, whoever's Mishmar it was that week, I don't know who it was, but whoever got that week, he would do Shizmana Kavua, Hu Makiv Tmidim. He would bring the carbon Talmud of Shabbos. Even though Shabbos turns out to be Shavuos, or even Shavuos falls out during the week, even though Shavuos, everyone has an equal share, it's only an equal share in terms of the Emurim, the hides, and only an equal share in terms of the Chazay and the Shok of the Shlomim. What came to the carbon Talmud, though, that Talmud would be offered by whoever was the Mishmar of that week, despite the fact that it was also Shavuos. And also the Nedarim and the Nedavos, all the various nedarim that people would bring, and they would dedicate to the Beis Hamikdash to be brought as a carbon, and Mishar Karbanos Tzibur, and any other carbon Tzibur that falls out during that week, Umakav is a kol, this particular Mishmar of that week would do it. So the only time that Mishmaros have an equal share, it only comes in terms of the skin and the Chazer V'Shok. Everything else, that Mishmar of that week, that was Kavua, did the rest of the Karbanos. The Gemara says, Emurei Ragalim, Shagavoninu. Why does the Mishnah say that the Emur Regalim gets to be split up among the Kohanim? Emur Regalim is something that gets offered on the Mizbeach, that goes to Hashem up above. So how do the Kohanim get to take part in that? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisa, no, it's a mistake from the Mishnah. Masha Amar Bir Galim. It's not Emur Regalim, not referring to the Emurim. It's that which is said by the Regalim. That which is said by the Regalim, which Rashi explains, that's something that goes to the Kohen, which is the Chazay and the Shok and the Or, those things which are edible or permitted for use for the Kohanim, that gets split up. Enechnami, the emure, the different limbs of the Kabbalah that go to the Mizbeach, enechnami, if no Sheikhas to that, it's only that which is said by the Regalim, which is normally mutter for the Kohen to take part in. I think Mark quotes another Bryce, just three more lines, Sanar Abanam, Minayin Shekol Mishmaros Shavos, Be'emure HaRegalim. How do we know that all the different Mishmaros of the Kohanim were equal on the Regalim? Tamalom, the Pasuk says, Uva b'chol avas nafsho. Now, this is a pasuk that's found in what the Shoftim looks like. It's another Re'e, it must be Re'e. It's talking about the Regalim. Uva b'chol avas nafsho. V'sharis, everybody come, everyone who wants comes, and Sharis could work, serve in the base of Migdash. Yachol af b'shari mos hashana. Okay, maybe the rest of the year it's talking about, the entire year, anyone who wants, any coin could come to the base of Migdash and do the avoda. Tamalomer me'achad sharecha. So only the Achad Sharecha is everybody, Bechol Avas Nafsho, anybody who wants, any coin he wants could come. What's Achad Sharecha, one-year gate? La Marti Ella, this is only stated that everybody could come, Bishah Shekol Yisrael Nichnasim Bishar Echad. It's only true when everybody comes in one gate, meaning when everyone comes on the Shoshar Gom, everybody's coming to flock to Yishalayim, that's when Bechol Avas Nafsho, when any coin who wants, who desires, able to take part in the Avodah. But the rest of the year, what's not Bechad Sharecha, where the rest of the year where everyone's not coming through one gate, then each Kohen cannot just show up and say, I want to do the Avodah today. Only in the Regalim, that's the special Pasuk. That's the Machlokes Rambam, about the Mitzvahs. The Rambam says, just like there's a Mitzvah on the Regalim, that every Mishmar has an equal share, it's a Mitzvah Deraisa, so to the rest of the year, it's a Mitzvah, that each Kohen has its own week to do it. The Ramban says, no, there's a mitzvah in Regalim that everybody has an equal share. The rest of the year, it's not a mitzvah. It's reshus. Any coin could come or not come. The rest of the year is only reshus. So again, everybody agrees when it comes to Regalim, there's a mitzvah deraisa, that every coin has an equal share. There's a machlokas. The rest of the year, however, when it's split up to mishmaros, is that also a mitzvah, or is that only a reshus? Okay, so we'll stop here. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we will finish, I guess, Masechta. And save the same for Thursday night in your session.